Look at this. I haven't used this in like 10 years. This is paper. That's new. I didn't know if it'd be too bright. See my computer screen out here, so I printed it. It feels so old school. I don't know what's the deal. Speaking of which, you know, it's a hot day, casual, things like that. I figured I'd pick a light topic for us today. You know, one that's easy to talk about and we all love. That is child rearing. Oh, no. Oh, no. Here we go. I can hear you now. We're going back to old school days, aren't we, right? This is why I left the other church. I didn't like that, so don't tell me what to do. You know, and then some people out there, they're like sitting up like, uh-huh, yep, I know some people who need this. And then others are like, you know, I actually liked you before. Now you're just treading on some territory you should just stay out of. And all the kids are out there, they're going like, oh no, all my fun is done right now. And then those who don't have kids are like, you know, it doesn't matter. My kids are going to be perfect when I have them. No mistakes. Got news for you, they won't be, so sorry. No, I think it's important for us to talk about this and not just from a, hey, here's do's and don'ts and all this other stuff. It's really important for us to get some concepts of behind child rearing. Why? What is the purpose? And then a couple tools. I don't want to cover 5,000 things. This might be part one, and I'll do part two some other time. But this is going to be about a couple of principles behind and then a couple of the tools of how. And not 10, maybe 2. Maybe that's it. And I think it's really important to understand this. So if you do have kids, you know, we can listen to it about that and take in what you can. If you don't have kids, you know, don't sit there and think, uh-huh, I know who needs to listen to this. Actually, this is about how to build relationships. So if you don't have kids, think about this from building relationship standpoint, not of, oh, I need to go talk to this other person over here, right? So there's something that's in each of these, because God teaches us some things in the Bible about how to raise or rear our kids. You know, this is one of those areas in life that can give you really, really deep peace, take stress out of your life, you know, make you feel deeply connected. There's nothing better than when you have a family that you feel connected to. You know, it's a big compliment when your kids come back later in life and they go, you know, I love hanging out with you. I like hanging with you. You know, it's fun. It's enjoyable. You know, when that kind of a thing happens, you've got a connection that is deep, satisfying. Versus, you know, as soon as they get old enough, they bolt and they're gone. They never kind of say hi to you again. Right? So how do we get to the place where we have deeply connected kids with us? How do we get the principles about that? So let's just cover a couple things today. Not a bunch. Let's just cover a couple of things. Turn over to Ephesians 6 verse 4, and the Bible tells us something about this. Ephesians 6 verse 4. What we do, don't do with our kids. Ephesians 6 verse 4. It says, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." Super critical scripture here. Super critical, because don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't make them angry. Don't make them turn out angry. You know, it's a hard thing to think about. But you know what? There's a couple ways that this is done. We always think this is only one way. There's a couple of ways this is done. So what is wrath? It's to, they get angry. You know, it's to provoke them. They become angry. It's to exasperate them in life to where they're just frustrated. And there's really two primary ways that this happens. One is being way over controlling to your kids, being way overbearing, being, you know, every little move, every little thing, correcting constantly, and this is all you do to somebody where they grow up exasperated. You know, and that's one way that it happens. That they can, you know, I think in the past, I know in society, it wasn't just the church, but in the past in society, society was really tough. It was all about, you know, really just being harsh with kids, being really, you know, controlling that way. And I think church reflected some of that. I think people's mentalities in the church reflected that. And that's not the way to do it. So it's not to go back to any of that. But you know what? There's another way that you can make your kids angry too. And that is by not giving them any boundaries or giving them any guidelines or giving them any limits. It's almost like our society has swung to extremes. You know, in the past, it's been way, way over here. Very hardcore, very old school, very, you know, everything's correcting, everything is bad, and just that's all it is. Now it's kind of like, wow, the kids, you know, emotional needs are the most important. Let's coddle them. Let's just do that. Let's, you know, without any sort of a boundaries, without any sort of a framework around that. And the thing is that both of these ways, both sides of this ditch produce the same thing, is you end up with angry kids. They both produce the same thing. One produces a different way because there's resentment for the parents. The other one is there's manipulation. There is also resentment. There's no boundaries. And both of these things produce the same things. And so Ephesians is very important to set the context. When we look at bringing our kids up, we don't want them, we're not trying to, you know, just get compliance. We're not just trying to get kids to do what we want. We're not just trying to, and we're not trying to exasperate them. Not trying to make sure that, you know, every little thing they, or every little mistake they make is slammed on or things like that. You know, it's not a goal to raise a kid perfectly. We don't want perfect kids. Perfect kids make boring adults. A lot of times perfect kids, they're just biting their tongue till they leave. This is not your goal in life. You want your kids to internalize and know. You want them to pick it up. You want them to love the way you are. You want them to love this way. You want them to want it. That's what you're trying to get to. Not to just, hey, just do it, keep them in line, keep them in line, keep them in line. Then they leave. They go off to college and then they just go nuts. Right? If you think about it, what we're doing is we want to build a relationship that's real, that's connected, that's authentic, and it's genuine together. And this scripture brings that out. So if you see anger and wrath in your kids, if you see resentment starting to build, just think, okay, I need to tweak this. I need to figure this out a little bit differently. How do I do it without anger and resentment? How do I bring my kids up to where they get to the end? They go like, man, I would love hanging out with you guys. This is fun. I like hanging out with you as an adult. Well, there's two things that are brought out here. It says training and admonition. Training, instruction, nurture, correction, admonition. You know, calling attention to and things like that. So, how do we do this? How do we do this? You know, God actually builds this with us. Right? God builds this. And what we find is God patterns how to raise and rear our children. He does it with us first. And he gives us a lot of the principles. You know, God isn't there every time you make a mistake just to smack you down. You know, if you're not learning something, he'll teach you. He'll bring you along over time. But he's not there just to smack you down. And so why do we do the same thing sometimes with our kids? How do we bring them along to where they want it and they get it? Well, there's an interesting scripture. Turn to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. Let's look at Psalms 23. There's a couple of things that are in this scripture that help us to think about how we would do it with our own children. Psalms 23. I don't think we've ever read Psalms 23 in this context, but it applies. Psalms 23 says, let's start in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you feel what is produced here in this sets of verses? This is how God leads us. This is how God brings us through. And there's a lot of things. I won't dissect this entire chapter. You could pull a lot of things out of how God works it. But can you feel what that feels like with a person who's there? It's not an agitation. It's going through hard things. It's going through perils. It's going through a lot of different things that are in there. But you can feel the peace. You can feel the leading. You can feel the end results. You can feel this. There's two things that I just want to pull out of here. It's in verse 4. Verse 4 says, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's an interesting phrase, and they comfort me. So this is the opposite of being agitated and angry, isn't it? This is the opposite of being agitated and angry and producing frustration in people. Something that's comforted. And what I find interesting is there's two words that I would never associate with being comforted. It's called the rod and the staff, right? And now you're thinking, oh yeah, now you're going back to old school, aren't you? No, I'm not. Let's understand what this means, because I don't think we've gotten what this actually means. right? Your rod and your staff comfort me. They don't bring out an anger or something like that. So the goal here, when we look at this, is to come up with kids and children who are led like this. Their souls are restored. They're going down the paths of righteousness. They're not fearful in life, even if they go through tough things, right? And their table's prepared, their head's anointed, their cup overflows, goodness and mercy. This is the result of what we do with our children the same. But those two things, your rod and your staff, are very interesting. They comfort me, is something I never would have thought. So what are the rod and the staff? The rod and the staff. Turn over to Proverbs 13:24. We've read this one before. Proverbs 13 and verse 24. Says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him properly. Now we read that and go, I'm supposed to hit my kids with a rod. That's not what that means at all. The Proverbs is not talking about a physical thing to go beat your kids with. The rod is talking about a discipline or a framework, or think of it as boundaries today. If you don't do that, you're not loving them. So when we look at this, there's two dimensions. Let's talk about the rod and let's talk about the staff, because these are two sides of something that help us lead properly. This says if you don't use the rod or have the discipline properly, then you don't, or you hate your son, you hate your kids. You're actually doing the same thing. Again, you're not leading them in the proper way. The only problem is that we've seen this in the past, is like Psalms 2 verse 9, where it's talking about what God says he will do. He says, you shall break them with the rod of iron. You should dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. Right? We've read that before. And this is what we think of as a rod that we smash and we break. This is how we used to probably think of it with our kids, is we smash and we've got to break our kids. You don't break your kids. Your goal is not to break your kids. You know, step out of line, bam, break them like a piece of pottery. This is not what we do to kids. In fact, if you try and break your kids, you're being abusive to them. This is not something you do. Don't misinterpret a scripture like this and apply it and make an excuse to go do something you shouldn't do with your kids. That is what God is going to do to nations that won't make a change. That is not what we do with our kids. So when it talks in Proverbs, if you spare the rod, hates his son, that's a different thing that it's talking about. There's a discipline. There's something here what this means. Now, I brought a couple props. Hang on. Of course, we're talking about child rearing, so I had to bring a bat, right? Nervous laughter, obviously. All right. Now, what's interesting is if you look at, so where does this come from when it talks about a rod and a staff? And in Psalms 23, it's talking about a shepherd with the sheep, right? And how they manage and work with sheep. And so we have to go back and look at how were they used with the sheep? How was it? What was the purpose of them? And how were these things used? And if you look this up, it's quite a fascinating story of what a rod and a staff are. A rod is something, so I brought with me two things. They're very poor representations of a rod and a staff. It's all I could find in my closet. I am not a shepherd, modern day shepherd. This would be like a staff, but usually at the end it was kind of a curved hook thing at the end of it. And a rod would be something similar to this. And that is, it would be like a club. I brought a little baseball bat because it's as close as I can think of. But you know, you would have like a big piece of wood that was like a club, like this, with a knot, and you would mold it for your hands. But it was a smaller thing like this, something that you could wield and swing it like this. Now, they brought, and if you look at the shepherds today, you can see pictures of this too. They even do this in modern times. They'll walk with a staff, and then they'll bring one of these, you know, a club or something with them. And what's the purpose of this? What do they use this thing for? There's three things they basically use it for. One is they use this to examine their sheep. And what that means is they would, as the sheep are, you know, out, they need to check what's the well-being of my sheep. And so what they would do is they would march the sheep up and they would stop them with the rod, like just place it right here to stop a sheep. And then they would inspect them. They would go through all of their wool and they would see, hey, are they, you know, they've got any diseases or anything like that. And you can see in Ezekiel, it says, hey, I will cause you to pass under the rod. It means the same type of thing. I'm examining. Hey, are you, how are you? How are you doing? like a rod is used to actually stop and just, hey, I'm kind of moving sheep through stopping, and then I'm going to kind of inspect them. That's one of the uses of a rod. So it's to help to make sure that a sheep is okay. So when we read about a rod, that's one of the meanings. So we always think of it as smashing stuff. That's all we think of a rod is, but it's not. A rod was used as a tool, number one. Let me look after my sheep. Let me check in on them. How are they doing? Hey, how are you doing? You know, figuratively, you could stop your kids with, you know, your arm, like, hey, here's a hug. I'm stopping you. And how's it going? How are things doing? How are you doing? Right? That's one use. A rod was at times used to bring a sheep back in line. And the way it was used was, you know, say a little sheep's wandering off and there's a poisonous plant over there that they're about to eat. They would throw it, and not at the sheep, but it would land, you know, next to the sheep. So they'd go like, oh, I shouldn't eat that. It was warning them away from some danger. Or they're about to walk off a cliff. They would do, because you can't run over there and get them. They would throw it in front of them and then they would back off. Okay. They did not use this to beat the sheep, by the way. It was used to warn. It was used for that. So they checked on the sheep. How are you doing? They stopped them with, they made them pass under the rod and they inspected them. Then they would also keep them away from danger. And then a third use of it was, they used this, though, to bash enemies. Not the sheep, the enemies. The rod was used if, you know, you had a wolf or you had something coming up that was going to threaten the flock. They would take this and smack it. They would smack the enemies away. So they're protecting the sheep. They are bashing the enemies with this. They're not bashing the sheep. They're bashing the enemies that are threatening the sheep with this. That's what a rod was. This is what a rod. So if you were a flock of sheep or herd of sheep, what is it? Not a flock. Did I just say flock? It is a flock. It is a flock. Okay. Sounds like a bird term to me. It's a flock of sheep. If you had one of those and you wanted to comfort them, you would keep them from danger. You would keep enemies away, and then you would also inspect to make sure that they're okay. Right? That's what a rod was used for. So the first thing that they talk about is the rod there. Now you can think about, you know, a lot of analogies to that, or a lot of thoughts about how that is. But if you want to take a look at how God presents this, he's not saying that you're physically raising your kids like sheep. He's giving you a principle of how it's done, the meaning and the intent behind these things. And as he says, the rod and the staff, they comfort me. They're not there to provoke anger. They're there to comfort. And so it's those three things that happen. You know, a skilled shepherd would drive off predators and protect the entire flock with something like this. In fact, you know, David was a shepherd. And like I said, he struck a lion and a bear. You know, he's using his rod. He's out there to smack it. And, he ended up protecting his sheep from that. And that's something important for us to do. Wow. A little dirt on that. You know, this is something important for us to think about, too, with our kids. You know, there's a protection. There is society wants to get at. People want to get at. There is a protecting that we should do of our children, too. There is a looking after them. There is checking in on how they're doing. There is a, hey, if you're getting near some danger, let me warn you from this. And there is, hey, somebody's attacking you. I am there to fight for you. I am there to be there for you. I'm going to protect you as a kid. You know, it's a hard topic to talk about, but there's people that abuse out there. It's very important to be aware of your sheep, be aware of your kids, and to protect them and to look after them and keep them from danger. The thing to not strike people about is if your kids are having bad behavior. This is not the thing to go strike somebody else about. A lot of times people will defend their kids to say like, hey, they're doing something wrong. And it's like, don't you mess with my kids. And blah, blah, blah. We do need to keep our noses in our own business to the most part. But if your kid is bad behavior, this is something for us to address. If somebody is physically, mentally, emotionally trying to harm your kid, you as a parent should protect them. This is a big part of it. Why are the sheep calm? Why are they feeling, you know, at peace? It's because they feel protected. They know they're kept from danger, and they've been checked in on. That's half of it. That's what the rod means, and it's a discipline. If they're doing something wrong, they are let known that they're doing something wrong. This is a part of us to create. Now, what about the staff? The staff's a little bit different. So, a staff is a bit of a different tool. you can walk with it, right? You know, the shepherd's walking with it. But it has a hook on the end. This is not a very sturdy thing like you would fight with it because it would break. But it's basically as well used for three things when you're out with the sheep. The first one is to round the sheep up in like a flock. Like if you need them to huddle together, if it's cold or maybe there's a danger or something, you can, with a hook, kind of round them up. So a shepherd would take and use this to kind of, let me bring you together. Let me pull you together. Let me group you together. Let's come in close. Right? That's one of the uses for it. And it's a sign of compassion. It's a sign of concern and a sign of comfort. You know, where the rod is a little bit more authority, right? Hey, don't go there. Let me check over you. And let me bash the enemies. This is more of a nurturing. This is more of a, let me bring you together. And if you think about that with the, you know, the sheep, same you do with a family. That's one of the purposes, you bring together. Like, let me pull you together as a family. Let's bring you, huddle close. How's it going? Let's regroup. Let's, you know, come together type of a thing. Now, this tool is also used as just a gentle pressure. Say you're walking along a cliff on this, you know, on a really narrow cliff on the side of a hill, and a sheep's starting to like wander or stray. You just gently nudge, touch it on the flank, and then just steer it in the right direction. So it's really an admonition of a steering of direction was done. And it's not done out of anger. You're not beating somebody with it or anything like that, but it's gentle pressure just to say, hey, we're going this way. This is where we're going. And then occasionally, the third thing it was used for is when a sheep got into a bad situation. I mean, there's stories of things where, like, you know, sheep, it's ridiculous that they see some grass that's down a hill in an impossible-to-get place, and they climb down and fall into the water. Next thing you know, they're about to drown. So the shepherd would take the hook and just take it and grab it back out of the water. And if you think about it, each one of these motions, they're very much nurturing, pulling, bringing together type of a thing. And so those are the three uses that you would use for a staff as well. So you have the rod, symbol more of kind of like a, you know, the authority or the, you know, the fighting of the enemies and things like that, and a bit of the discipline and don't go touch here. It's a little bit more of that. And then we have the nurturing. Let's bring the flock together. Let's gently nudge you the right direction. And if you're in trouble, I can pull you out and I can help you. So those three meanings, you look at any shepherd any of the day, and as this was written, this is how they use these tools. This is how they used them with the sheep. So in Psalms 23, this is the meaning of those things. But that's the meaning of what it means. Your rod and your staff comfort me. So sometimes you read that, and I always thought that. I go like, wow, how's this like rod and the staff? It sounds like two things you're batting, you know, you're hitting things with. How do those two things help me feel at comfort? Well, the biblical example of how shepherds used them in the day was like that. They did it like that. And that's how they kept this flock together, inspected, safe, out of danger. If they needed to kind of course correct a bit, they did. So turn over to Isaiah 30, verse 21. Isaiah 30, verse 21. So when you start to think about applying these things, Isaiah 30, verse 21. This is part of the conversation that we have. Isaiah 30, 21 says, your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Again, that is, if you think about that, the nurturing of staff. Hey, I'm turning. This is talking to. This is behind. This is saying, hey, no, here's the right direction to go. There's a continual teaching and talking that has to happen. And there's a lot of scriptures that talk about this. There is constant talking that has to happen, constant teaching, constant dialogue that needs to happen. So many times in the past, we just want to, okay, you stepped out of line, boom, you know, you did this, you're getting punished. And if kids like, why? Don't ask why, just because I told you why. This is talking about constant teaching, constant talking. And that's what it says in the world tomorrow, there will be a voice that says, hey, walk in this. This is not taking away free will. This is just saying there'll be people will constantly be teaching other people. They'll be saying, here's the way to do it. Here's the way to go. Here's the instructions. A person still has to make their own choices. Same with our kids. Over time, they end up getting to a place where they're making their own choices. But there's a constant talking, teaching. This is not an excuse to say, you know, boys will be boys or she's just that way. This is the parents teaching, saying, you know what? This is what it means to be a man. This is what it means. Here's why it means this. Constantly talking, constantly teaching. So what we find then is that there is a couple dishes we can get in. We have a rod and we have a staff. Think of the rod as more of, hey, there's some correction here. I put some boundaries around. Think of it as boundaries today. A lot of times we don't want to set boundaries. We don't want to give the boundaries. But this is super important, because if you don't give your kids the boundaries, it actually ends up them being angry and mad over time. They get frustrated in life. They get a bit manipulative. They get in a place like that. And if all you do is correct your kids, and there's never anything that you're talking and teaching them the why, then they get angry in another way. So we have a mixture of these two things that are needed. It's not the rod or the staff. In the past, it was just the rod. Modern day, it's just the staff. I'm like, oh, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to correct at all. It's just I want to make sure that they're happy. I'm going to nurture them. Oh, like, you know, this type of a thing. You need to have both of these. So it's not rod or staff. It's the rod and the staff comfort me. It's both of those. The both sides of it are needed. Not just one, but both of them are needed. And if you go back to Ephesians, we'll just read it one more time. But if you go back to Ephesians, you notice the two words that are in there. It's Ephesians 6 verse 4. Ephesians 6 verse 4. If we go back to the scripture we started with, it says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in them. There's two things mentioned, the training and the admonition. Guess what? Those are the same two principles as the rod and the staff. It's the same type of thing. The training, talking, teaching, nurturing, gentle nudge this way. Continually, here's the direction you need to go. Admonition. Sometimes there is a don't touch that plant. Sometimes there is, you know, this is the way you have to go. Or let me tell somebody who's attacking my family to not do that. So those two words carry the same meaning, training and admonition. And if you see it throughout the Bible, it's consistent. Staff and rod are those principles, training and admonition. There's other ones that are in different scriptures that carry the two same things. But we'll see that it comes full circle back to that. Those mean the exact same two type of things. So training with the rod is like the staff, instruction, nurture, correction. The rod is like admonition. Call attention to it. It's a mild rebuke or it's a warning. There is a discipline that happens there too. It's not one without the other. So when we look at these two things, they're both required, the staff and the rod. Staff, nurturing, talking, training. The rod, maybe some corrections, some boundaries and things like that. So how do we do this? Let's close out with, let's just talk a few things. Again, this is not exhaustive, but there's some practical advice. Practical advice first about the staff, the nurturing, the guiding. If you only know how to use the first point is if you only know how to use the rod, then practice using the staff. If all you use is the rod and none of the staff, it's going to result in anger. It will result in anger. You know, something important to point out here too is a lot of times we stereotype these things as the dad is the rod, he's all the correction, the discipline, the mom is the staff, the nurturing, right? And that's not incorrect either. It's actually something that both have to learn. Because all you're doing is you're having a relationship where your kids know your dad, and all he does is correct, keep everything in line. If you're not good at nurturing, if you're not good at that as a guy, it's something to learn. Maybe it doesn't come naturally for you. You know, I know for me, it's super easy just to, you know, super type A, and there's this, and don't do, you know, and I've had to take a deep breath. I've had to realize that I have to figure the other side out too. Same for women. Sometimes it's so much easier for women just to be the nurturer, but not to set a boundary, right? That's something to learn. Don't leave it to one or the other. You know, you come together as in a relationship, you can learn from each other. You can learn that from each other, but it's not just for one or the other. It's for both to learn. It's for both to learn. If you think about this, if you use the staff more and you do it right, you'll end up using the rod less over time. If you do the nurturing and the talking and all those things more and do it properly, over time you will use the rod less. You will have to use the rod, the enforcing and the boundaries and other things less and less and less. You know, I know as my, you know, the kids gets old, kids get older. Sometimes it's just a gentle, it's the staff, a gentle touch. I know I've had this conversation. I've said, hey, you know, you're going here. You know the right thing to do there, right? And they're like, ah, oh, yeah, I do. And, you know, sometimes they'll do it. And other times, like, you know what? They'll come back and go, you know, I knew I should have done that. I know I should have done it that way. And then the next time they go, you know, I just did it that way. It's a gentle nudging. When you get to that place, you don't have to always be bashing things. It can be just a gentle touch with a staff and not a big with a rod. So over time, that gets to be more that way. And the point of this is spend a lot of time talking and teaching with your kids. You know, one of the places we found is with our kids is that if you take them in the car one-on-one, they end up opening up. It's a, you know, they end up dumping things they normally wouldn't. They end up talking and just saying, because there's this focus time. You go to the store or something like that. They'll end up just, you know, talking about their day and talking about things. But it's very important just to talk and to teach. Explain why. Answer the question why. Why? Why do we talk about, why do we teach this? Why is this? Why do you, why is it important to act this way? Don't just say, just because I told you so, just do it. Explain to them why. You know, at one point in life, it'll click and they'll go like, oh man, I experienced that. My mom and dad told me that. And now it finally clicked in because you told them why. Teach them. Talk to them. You know, find out what they're going through. As the sheep pass through, they stop them and they inspect them. Find out what's going on with your kids. How are they doing? Teach them. Talk to them. Nurture them. What issues did they run into? Right? And the more you do that, the less you need the other. How much should you do the staff versus the rod? It varies. Varies what phase kids are in life. But as a general rule, if you want to think about this over the course of their life, and I've known, I've heard other parents, mother-in-law says this, 90% is talking, 10% would be the rod, 90% teaching, talking, nurturing, explaining, connecting, inspecting, connecting like that, 10% would be the rod. I think sometimes we've got it completely backwards. Now, what about the rod? What about some advice there? You know, if you know how to use the staff, but you don't know how to set boundaries, some people are not that great at this. Don't know how to say no and mean it. Then practice it. Because if you're not good at that and you don't get how to say no and mean it and have some teeth behind it, you're going to make your kids angry too. Overbearing makes them angry. Not enough boundaries makes them angry. Both of those things end up in anger. So it's not just for the dad to use the rod and the mom to be the staff. Like I said before, both need to learn this at the same time. If the predominant tone in your house is chaos, then boundaries are the issue. You need to set some of the boundaries. If you want to reduce some of the stress in your life, then learn this skill. Learn this skill. Because if you keep having to say it and do it and set it up over and over and over again, this just becomes super chaotic and super stressful. If you find yourself getting manipulated as well, then a proper boundary hasn't been set. What do I mean by this? You know, sometimes we can say, okay, no, you can't, you know, no, can't play the Xbox. You didn't clean up your room or something. Like, oh, okay. Then they come back 15 minutes later. You know, I want to play the Xbox. No, I said no. And then they come back another 15 minutes later and they're like, oh, you know, please can I play the Xbox? Like, oh, it's asking really nice. And then they come back again and they say, oh, can I do it? I'll do the dishes. And they're like, oh, okay. What just happened? What just happened is if if you're going to say something, you have to mean it. You have to mean it. And what I mean by that is, what happens is some people wield the rod all the time, and they're always saying, no, don't, this, but they don't ever mean it. My advice would be that be very selective. If you're going to say no, don't be always cutting every single thing off. But if you're going to say it, be selective. And if you say it, mean it. Because the person who has got to the place where they're like, oh, yeah, if I just do the dishes, oh, you ask really nicely. You know what you're teaching them? You're teaching them how to manipulate you. Teaching them how to manipulate people. If you say no, mean no. Set the boundary and mean it. And you know what? You think that sounds a little harsh, but it's not. It's actually where a kid will relax in that. They know where the boundaries are. They won't keep coming back and keep pushing and keep doing things like that. So if you find yourself being manipulated, learn the practice of setting a boundary. Learn that practice of setting the boundary. Don't say if you don't mean it. And when you do say it, follow through with it. Otherwise, you're undermining yourself. And the thing is when you get this, you only have to do that a few times. And if they know there's teeth behind it, they won't keep pushing. Your stress becomes less. The chaos becomes less. So if you find yourself as a broken record, repeating yourself over and over and over and saying no and this and pushing back and that, and you'd be quiet and yelling and it's only chaos, setting the boundaries is the problem. The rod needs to come out and say, nope, don't eat that plant. You're stopping right here. Set the boundary. And again, when we look at the staff and the rod, if you want to think of a ratio, spend 90% of your time with the staff, the nurturing, the gentle, the teaching, those other things. And as you do that properly, this rod needs to be used less and less and less. You know, I found this with my dog. It was the same thing. Not a dog, it was like a kid. But, you know, well, my dog was the same thing. I ended up telling my dog no 50 times, 60 times. And he was just getting to everything, picking this up, running around. I'm getting frustrated. Everybody's getting frustrated. The dog, like, after a while, you know, I said, you know what the problem is? I keep saying, don't do that. But then he keeps doing this. I said, I have to say it. And he has to know that I mean it. So I did one thing with my dog. This is different than your kids. I did one thing with my dog. After saying it 50 times, everybody being frustrated, everything happening, I sat my dog on a blanket and I said, you sit and you stay. And made sure. And I said, nobody touch the dog. He's working. He's got to learn this. I made him sit and stay. And if he got up, I drug him right back and I said, stay. I did this. That dog went from the worst dog in the world in 1 hour to a dog that obeyed completely. Because I knew that there was no getting around it. There was no way to get off the blanket. And you know what? The dog, you know, improved 10,000 times better. The dog is less chaos in my house. I only bring that up because our kids aren't just like dogs. But I'm just saying that if you mean it, mean it. Follow through with it. If you set a boundary, if you're not good at that, figure out how to do that. So both parents learn how to do those type of things. So I just thought it was interesting if you look at Psalms 23. That, and you look over at Ephesians, it says, don't provoke them to wrath. Don't make them angry. Two ways to make them angry: be overbearing, overmuch. We've done it in the past. Don't do that. But also, don't go the opposite and have zero boundaries and no walls or no things that give them the guidance in life. And a rod and a staff are two tools for us to use. The staff, nurture, talk, gently guide, gently lead. And the rod, as we need to set boundaries, as we need to say things, that should happen rarely. And an enemy should attack rarely. But if it's needed, learn how to do that as well. And as it says, put both those things together. 90% staff, 10% rod. And your sheep are comforted.